So we want to look at Titus chapter 1, and we are going to look at verses 15 and 16. And it says here, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess, and they know that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. And so, our topic tonight is the tragedy of being a reprobate. The tragedy of being a reprobate. Now, I also want to read these two verses from the International Children's Bible, another translation. And it says here, to those who are pure, all things are pure. But to those who are full of sin and do not believe, nothing is pure. The thinking of those people has become evil, and their knowledge of what is right has become ruined. They say they know God, but the evil things they do show that they do not accept God. And they are terrible people. They refuse to obey, and they are useless for doing anything good. And so, with the Lord's help tonight, again, sobering subject, sobering thought, and we need your attention tonight, okay? Need your attention tonight. And so, again, we have been studying Pilgrim's Progress in Sunday school. And those of you that are familiar with the allegory, there's a part where Pilgrim goes to Interpreter's house. And the name John Bunyan gives to the Holy Spirit in this story is Interpreter. And he shows Christians seven truths within that house. And one of these truths, he comes by a cage with a man in it. We spent some time talking about this in Sunday school, and I'm sorry, you might have to hear some of this again. But, again, I can't get away from it. So there's a cage with a man in it, and this man was called a despairing reprobate or backslider. Well, I want to use the two words despairing reprobate. First of all, if you take these two words and define them, despairing means to lose, give up, or be without hope. Reprobate, a depraved, unprincipled, or wicked person, a person rejected by God and beyond hope of salvation. I want you to think about that tonight. This man that was in this cage was a person rejected by God and beyond hope of salvation. And tonight we're going to talk about how this man got there. There were reasons why this man got there. And so the testimony of this backslider was this. He was a fair and flourishing professor. In his own eyes and in the eyes of others, he thought that he was going to heaven. He had the hope and joy at the thoughts of getting there. You know, it sounds like that he had a very promising life ahead of him. Just like each and every one of you here tonight. You all have a promising life ahead of you. Would you agree? I agree. You all have a promising life ahead of you. Just as this professor, this man had. You have a promising life. But here in this allegory, here in this story, he is now shut up in a cage with no hope of getting out. No hope of salvation. How did he get there tonight? Well, Christian asked him, how did he get in such condition? He says, I left off to watch and be sober. We'll expound on these a little bit. Next, he says, I have laid the reins upon my neck of my lusts. I sinned against the light of the word and the goodness of God. I grieved the Spirit, and he is gone. I tempted the devil, and he has come to me. I have provoked the anger of God, and he has left me. And I have so hardened my heart that I cannot repent. I want you to think about that tonight. We are not exempt from these things. We are not exempt from these things, young people. And Christian, then he says, is there no hope? Is there no hope? But you must be kept in the iron cage of despair. And this man says, no, none at all. He's asking him, he says, is there any hope of you ever getting out of this cage? And he says, no, none at all. God has denied me repentance. His word gives me no encouragement to believe. Yea, himself hath shut me up in this iron cage. Nor can all the men in the world let me out. Think about that. There is no one in this world that could ever let this man out of his cage. And he says then, oh, eternity, eternity, how I grapple with the misery. And that's where this man was. He was in misery and with no hope of getting out. I think about, have you ever been sick or something and you've just been miserable? And you know that misery lasts for a short period of time. But think, this man is spending the rest of his life in the cage of misery with no hope of ever getting out. No hope of ever getting out. And so again, I bring this thought tonight as a warning that we all could end up in this condition. I can end up in this condition. Sister Sherry could end up in this condition. None of us are exempt from this, young people. None of us. So some things that stand out to me, even though this man says that God shut him up in the cage, that cage was of his own making. That cage was of his own making. It was built bar by bar. And we'll get into that a little bit tonight. It was built bar by bar. And also, and I have taken a picture of this, and I can kind of show you here. But this man is in this cage. Do you notice something about this cage? It's small, all right. Sorry. It has no door. I want you to think about this cage. This cage has no door. If you go to the zoo, all the cages that I've seen, they have some sort of door, right? Either the person getting in there to feed the animals, or they can actually get the animals out. Those cages have doors. Most every cage that I have ever seen, it has some means of escape, some means of getting out. This cage here was built bar by bar by this individual, and it has no door, so he has no hope of ever getting out. What a sad condition this man is in tonight, or in this story. What a sad state of affairs this man is in. He is enclosed in a cage. No man can get him out. God says he shut him up in there, and he has no hope of getting out. This man had no hope of ever being free again. You know, I think even about prison. There are people locked up in prison tonight. At some point in time, they have some sort of hope of ever getting out, or they have some sort of hope of getting out of that prison cell, right? This man didn't. This man didn't. So how did this man with a bright future end up rejected of God? How did he end up rejected of God tonight? First, and we're going to go back through this list, but first he failed to watch and be sober. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." We've got an enemy that's walking about seeking out one of us tonight, or many of us tonight, and he's doing his best to devour us. We must watch, young people. We must be vigilant. I think about, you know, many stories that I've read that, you know, especially in times of war, you have soldiers doing guard duty on the perimeter of encampments. And you know that it was actually a hangable offense, or they could actually shoot you as a traitor because you fell asleep on guard duty. I want you to think about that. Somebody that is not vigilant, somebody is not watchful, and there's an attack, and it's because that they were not watchful that many may get killed, or maybe that camp gets overrun, whatever it may be. It was a hangable offense. But the Bible's telling us to be careful, be watchful, be vigilant. Why? Because we have an enemy that's out to get our souls. This man locked up in this cage, he quit being vigilant. He quit being watchful. And that's just the first bar that he put into that cage. And you think just one bar, well, that's not a big deal. I can still get out, right? Because it's just one bar. But we're going to find that he starts putting bar by bar by bar, and the next thing you know, he's enclosed in that cage with no hope of ever getting out. So if we're not watchful, if we're not being sober, if we're not being vigilant, we are adding a bar to our cage. Second is he laid the reins upon the neck of his lust. That's what he said. That was his testimony. Instead of having a hold on God, he let his lust have their way in his life. And you know, the word lust is having a strong desire for something. You know, many times when we talk about lust, you're thinking about, you know, things that have to do with sexual connotations. That's not the case. That's not the case. It's us having a strong desire for something. That can turn into a lustful thought. And it can, you know, it doesn't have to be something sinful. It doesn't have to be something sinful. But it can become sin if God asks us to lay it aside. Has God asked you this week to lay something aside, and you haven't laid that thing aside yet? Do you have such a strong desire for whatever that thing is that you can't lay it aside? It can become sin. It can become sin. So is there something you're holding on to that God has asked you to let it go? James 1:15 says that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so are you hanging on to something tonight? Are you holding on to something that God has asked you to let go? If not, you're adding another bar to your cage. You're adding another bar to your cage. Third, the testimony of this man says, "I sinned against the light of the word and the goodness of God." You know, as we read, young people, as we pray, as we study, as we listen to messages, God is shining his light on our path. And you know, light is progressive. What do we mean by progressive? God, you know, and I liked doing this when I was a kid. I don't know about you. But I'd be out in the backyard, And all of a sudden, a cloud would come across the sun. And then and then what I'd try to do is, as that cloud was moving across the sun, I would still try to catch up with the light. Anybody ever try that, or am I just weird? So Benji's with me. All right, Benji and I, we're kindred spirits, and when it comes to that. But I always wanted to keep up with the light. As that cloud started coming across the sun, I always went and run and try to keep up with standing in the light. I didn't want to be in that dark part. But anyway, that's just like God showing His light on our pathway. It's progressive. It keeps moving. And so as we measure up the things, God's asking us, hey, I want you to move up a little bit more. I want you to move up a little bit more. And so are we measuring to that light? Are we keeping up with the light as God shows it on our path? Are we walking in it? Again, has God shown you something that says, listen, you need to move up. In order for you to continue in this way, you need to move up. Are you moving up? Are you keeping up with the light tonight? If not, you're putting another bar in that cage. You're putting another bar in that cage. Fourth, the testimony of this man says, I have grieved the Spirit and He is gone. I have grieved the Spirit and He is gone. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, how do we, and aggrieved means to make sorrowful. All right? When we are grieving, we're sad, we're sorrowful. Are we making the Holy Spirit sorrowful tonight? Are we doing anything as far as rejecting the Word of God? Is there anything in the past 2 weeks, especially, that we have been rejecting, we were resisting against? If we're resisting, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. We're grieving the Holy Spirit, and we're making Him sorrowful, and He will go away. He will go away, never to speak to us again. So how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Again, has He been talking to you this week? Has He been talking to you this week? I'll just speak for myself. He might say, Steve, I need you to measure up here. Steve, maybe I need you to do this here. I need you to lay this particular thing aside. I need you to come up a little higher. It's up to me. It's up to me to choose whether I want to do that or not. Just like all of you out here tonight, you have a choice. You can choose to resist. You can choose to say no. Or you can choose to say yes. I am going to move up. I am going to do what God asked me to do. But young people, if there is something that you are holding, you're resisting the Holy Spirit, you're putting another bar in that cage. You're adding another bar to that cage. Fifth, this man says, I tempted the devil and he has come to me. You know, tempt also means attract. Attract. And if we reject the things of God, you know what? The devil's going to be right there to help us along. He's going to be right there to help us along. If we hold up our hands and resist and say, God, you know, go away, leave me alone. I hope nobody's ever done that. But you know what? The devil's going to be right there to help us along. Say, if that's what you want, I want to help you right along. And He's going to give you the courage to resist. He's going to give you the courage to resist. But are we provoking God to anger? Are we doing anything to provoke God to anger? You know, the children of Israel, I was thinking about this. The children of Israel, there were many times on their journey through the wilderness after they left the land of Egypt that they provoked God to anger. And what were the consequences of God's anger? One, the earth opened up and swallowed up a whole bunch of people, right? What about the fiery serpents? Children of Israel provoked God to anger, right? He sent fiery serpents. Many people died as a result of it. But not only that, as you think about everybody that was 40 and older that left the land of Egypt, never got to see the promised land. Why? It's because they did not believe God. And young people, unbelief and us not believing God will provoke God to anger. So is there anything in our lives that we are doing to provoke God to anger tonight? If we are, we're putting another bar in that cage. Putting another bar in that cage. And last, this man testified, I have hardened my heart that I cannot repent. I want you to think about that. He got his heart to a place where it was so hardened, if he even wanted to, he could not repent. And so, young people, the more that we reject God, the harder our heart becomes. You know, we can sear our conscience. We can sear our conscience. The Bible talks about that. And I think about, you know, this one finger's finally starting to get halfway soft again, but I had some students hand me some really, really hot metal the other day. And the skin on this hand got really, really hard. And I often think about that when I look at this finger and I feel this finger. Like I said, the skin on it's really, really hard. Why? It's because I allowed it to get seared with a hot piece of metal. But we can sear our conscience just like that hot piece of metal seared my finger to where I had, for the longest time, no feeling. Why? Because it had a hard crust on it, had a hard shell on it. And we can do that with our heart. We can do that with our heart. And if we're doing anything to harden our heart, we're putting another bar in that cage. And so we keep adding bars to the cage. And pretty soon, and you know, by adding it just one bar at a time, we don't realize that we're being trapped. And we're being trapped by our own choices. We're being trapped by our own will. It was a cage of his own making, and it had no door. No, and he was in there with no hope of ever getting free. So young people tonight, our burden is we become wise to, you know, again, we can make these choices on it. We can make these choices as to, you know, we can follow the same path as this man followed, or we can follow the path that God has laid out for us. And we can be wise. We can be wise too. You know, what do you want to say? The enemy's tactics. We can be wise to, you know, our own will. But young people, we never, ever, ever, it's a serious thing that we become a reprobate. That we become, you know, one without any hope of salvation. It's a serious thing. It's a serious thing tonight. So we just wanted to bring a word of warning to you. Don't ever become as this man, locked up in a cage. It was a cage of his own making, and God God turned his back, says, this is what you want. I'm gonna let you have it. And God, at some point in time, if you keep resisting, you keep pushing him away, you keep doing things, walking against light, just as we talked about, you could end up there just like this man ended up. It's a serious thought tonight. Very, very serious thought. And so tonight, you know, if God is working with you, if God's been talking to you for these last couple weeks, don't push him away. Don't push him away. Because it's serious business. The more you push God away, the further and further away he's going to get. But again, you keep adding bars to that cage, and pretty soon you find that you're going to be just like that reprobate, locked in a cage with no hope of salvation. Don't ever, ever want to get there. So we appreciate you. We love you. We want to see you do well. All right? We want to see you do well.